Welcome to the Sportscast, July 16th, 2018, the day after the World Cup. What are you going to do after the World Cup? It's a big thing, but soccer still continues. There's a lot of qualifiers, a lot of things going on throughout the summer. Obviously, August is where the big leagues start. But yesterday's final was amazing. We had a good Sportscast with David Hessel yesterday, a French squad, French analyst person that was, you know, going through all the details of the game. And today we have George, a very unbiased analyst for the Sportscast. George, welcome to the Sportscast.
Let's get this going, man. I'm excited.
Well, it was a very good World Cup final. I said it was an easy final for France, it felt like. Some people say, no, France had to put some work into it. Do you think France had it easy, or did they just make it look easy?
No, I don't think it was easy by any stretch. I think they got a couple goals. They were kind of lucky, you know, penalty call and then the own goal kind of thing. So, I mean, they should dug themselves in a hole, really, I think. I think if it wasn't for those two calls, you know, those two plays, it could have been a very close game, you know.
Let's go into the details of the game. The first third, Croatia, in the 18th minute, Griezmann dove that led to the own goal by Mandzukic's free kick. What happened was that Griezmann was outside the box. He was running, and it was borderline. The player was going for the ball, but also kind of hit him, touch him, but it wasn't rough. It dove, and the ref gave him a free kick. Was that a free kick, George?
It was close. I mean, I think you could have gone either way, but I have to watch the play again. I don't remember that exactly, but I remember he did fall. It didn't seem like he got touched him, but he did touch him barely, but I think he did though. I think he exaggerated, like it was more than it was, you know?
Yes, and the thing is with those plays, anything outside the box is not reviewable by VAR, which has become very debatable. I say VAR should not be used because, you know, VAR could be, you know, could slow down the game, and I think it's bad for soccer. So what happened was after that, like they called it for a free kick, and a huge nightmare for Mandzukic as he guides the ball into the top corner from Griezmann's free kick, handing France the lead. Griezmann's delivery was on the money as he curled his cross towards the back post. Croatia had a deep defensive line, and Mandzukic's attempted header glanced the top of his head.
I think it was just a fluke, you know. Even though I think it was going in regardless if he got touched or not. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
You know, it's a possibility. I mean, it might have been the goalkeeper might have had a better chance to like block it or just to clear it out. But yeah, the ball was going towards the goal, that's for sure. But I think they had to touch it. I don't think. Well. We'll see what happens. But then 18 minutes later, Ivan Perisic equalized. A super strike from Perisic levels the World Cup final. France failed to clear the danger from the resulting free kick as Mandzukic, then Vida, knocked the ball towards the winger. He took time and space to pick his spot on his left foot before drilling his effort past Lloris. A special effort from Perisic. Game on.
Yep.
The goal was pretty easy, and I think Perisic was the man for Croatia that was really trying hard, you know, and I think you know, it just happens. Sometimes you have the opportunity, and I thought from there on the game would be tighter, but it wasn't. George, is still there? Hello? Sorry about that, guys.
Hello?
Can you hear me, George?
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Okay. I think I lost you. Okay. Hello? So Perisic tied the game 1-1. Do you thought or did you think at the moment that this was a game on?
No, of course. I mean, I thought the game was going to be closer, obviously. But, I mean, you don't expect an own goal. You don't expect penalty kick in the game. So, I thought Croatia was going to fight hard, and they're always a team, like I said, they always like to come back from behind and win. That's how they've been kind of doing it. So they're a tough team, man. I think Croatia played still really well.
Then the 59th minute, the 38th minute, Antonio Griezmann takes France ahead with a penalty. What happened was Perisic's arm was not in a natural position as the ball struck his hand. The referee has taken his time to make the decision, and he points to the spot. The referee had to go to VAR and to make sure if it was a handball or not. Do you think? Did you thought that it was a handball?
I mean, obviously it did touch his hand, but it wasn't intentional. It ricocheted off the French player. And it's one of those things where he actually went, like, he didn't think it was a penalty off the bat, and then he went to check. He went back to check again. Like, he was walking away, and he went back to check it again. It's kind of like a thing where, like, he got doubt. I think the referee had, like, a doubt afterwards. Like, I think people at the top told him about it, and he kind of reversed the call and said it was a penalty. But I really think it wasn't. I think it was a close one, but it's very different. I think it's very clear to know that it wasn't intentional, because he was in the air and he came back down, and like his hands, he didn't really extend his hands were really where he's going to be when he jumps. So when he's coming down like that, he gets touched, you know, I don't see how, especially if it touches a French player and then it touches your hand, it's different than if a guy's shooting goal and then you're the only one there and then you just stick out your arm and touch it. Like, that's a clear penalty. Like, you know, Sanchez in Colombia game against Japan, that's a clear penalty there. And in this one, it was not clear, and it shouldn't be making those calls like that in such an important game, you know?
Griezmann converts 2-1. The forward holds his nerve from the 12 yards as he slots his effort into the bottom corner with ease, sending Savicic the wrong way. Griezmann had a while to compose himself, and he had to no issue finding the net, allowing his side to regain the lead. Then in the 59th minute, this is where France, you know, yes, they went 2-1, but this was the huge decider in the second half. Pogba had a World Cup moment as he hands France a two-goal cushion in the final. Mbappe's breakdown the right flank stretched the Croatian defense. A low ball into the box was worked back towards Pogba via a deflection. His effort was blocked by Vida, but it rebounded back towards the Manchester United midfielder. With his second drive on his left foot, he found the top corner. The French bench erupts. They're closing in now.
Yeah. That was a lucky bounce, too. You know, it's just one of those things. And he hit it perfectly, though. He hit it right in the corner where, you know, the goalie couldn't reach it. It was a great shot. I mean, it was kind of a lucky bounce for them, too, though, you know?
Do you think that was the moment you thought they're going to win the World Cup?
I mean, at that point, it was 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3-1, yeah. That's where you kind of felt like, all right, well, France is going to pull it away. Because, I mean, it's hard. You come back down one goal, but down two goals, you know, to tie it, it was very hard. I mean, I still thought Croatia was going to score at least one more for sure. I thought it was going to be at least two more goals. That's what I thought. After that, I was like, it was going to be like two more goals probably.
Then 6 minutes later, Pogba has a World Cup moment as he hands France a two-goal cushion in the final. But then Mbappe breaks down the right flank, stretched the Croatian defense. A low ball into the box was worked towards back. Wait, this is from the repeat. Sorry. Mbappe makes it 4-1 in the 65th minute, making the second teenager to score in the World Cup final. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but you know, it was all Hernandez there that made it happen, which people forget. Like, he did an incredible play to pass it and you know, give him that goal. I think, like I said, France kind of struggled in the first half. He really wasn't involved as much, you know. And then second half kind of opened up. I think that's obviously Croatia had to kind of play more aggressive. So the game opened up after that, you know. But yeah, Rafa has a great future ahead of him, and there's just too much firepower in the end. Croatia, you know, they did everything they could, but they just didn't have enough left in the tank, you know.
Which I got my notes together. What happened was Mbappe, you know, surely knows how to put the game out of Croatia's reach. He takes Hernandez offload from the left flank, and he controls it in the middle of the park. From 25 yards, he lets it fly with a low strike that Vida fails to block and moves past Sebicic before the keeper can get down. France are on their way to left in the World Cup. Do you think Croatia was tired, you know, after those, you know, two previous matches? You think, you know, it, like the whole tiredness really catched up to them?
Nah, man. I mean, I think they're all they're playing. This is tests as they always have. I think what Leon, the coach, was saying was that that penalty call really like kind of deflated the team a little bit. I think their balls are kind of down, but they're still fighting and battling, you know, hard. And they have some good opportunities to even score. You know, and that'll be that lucky goal and make the error. We'll talk about that now, I guess. And then
yes,
I think I had a good shot, man.
And then in the 69th minute, what is Lloris doing? Mandzukic scores 4-2. The crazy theme of the game continues as Lloris attempts to play out from the back on his own goal line. He takes too long to pass the ball to Umtiti and allows Mandzukic to make the closing interception, steering the ball into the net. Lloris has given Croatia hope here. He'll be hopeful that does not cost his side.
Yeah, that was actually like a break for Croatia because I was like, wow, I was like, well, they need a quick goal right now. Like, they got it. It was like, wow, you know, like, this is not over yet. And what's that happen? I was like, wait a minute, yeah, you can't sleep now because it's still within reach. You know what I mean? So it's plenty of time left, and that was a huge error. You know, it just choked there for like that one split second, and it's a goalkeeper, man. I never understood this one. When there's a guy coming after you, you know, coming to you. Right near you, you know, an attacker, like, just grab the ball with your hand, man. Just grab the ball and wait for him and then clear it out. You know, like, just don't even risk it passing it to the guy. Like, and the guy timed it perfectly. Mandzukic, right, he timed it so perfectly. Right when he was about to kick it to him, very late, he intercepted it perfectly. Like, it actually bounced off his leg and went right in. Like, it was, like, a perfect, like, he did a perfect play, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was definitely the error that I've seen some goalkeepers make, but that was it for Croatia. The game lasted till the 95th minute. It went extra 5 minutes of injury time, and France wins the World Cup, champions, and then they get handed the trophy while it's raining. But it all worked out, you know. When it's raining, it doesn't care. You don't care. You still lift the World Cup.
It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's thundering or tsunamis. You're celebrating. The hurricane coming. You're just, hey, you worked all this hard to get it. It's just for a little trophy. That's funny. This is a trophy. That's a nice trophy. I wonder where does the trophy go? Like, does that like the team headquarters or something? Like, where does that trophy go?
The trophy goes with the team, and then it goes to the federation, but it's very temporary. I think they bring it back after a few months or maybe after a month, and then it goes back to FIFA's trophy room because they want to, you know, display
it. Is that the same trophy that you used throughout the whole thing?
Correct. It's the same trophy that Germany had, the same trophy that Spain had, and Italy. It's the same trophy since the 1970. I mean, they got to get them back. Not just like the NBA, finals where you keep the trophy. No, you kind of recycle it.
I don't know why I thought they actually kept it.
No, they didn't keep it. I thought they
actually kept it. Okay,
no.
I didn't hear that.
And it's interesting because I saw it like on Instagram. Paul Pogba was showing the World Cup trophy in the locker room. I was like, man, please take care of that. Because the first trophy has been lost. No one knows what happened to the original World Cup trophy, Jules Rimet. And people think it's in Brazil somewhere.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. So
yeah, someone stole it. You know how much money it was?
Yeah, I know. Someone probably will sell it on eBay or on Craigslist apparently soon.
I'm pretty sure that they're going to do that. Probably they're going to get caught. They're going to do that and download but black market somewhere.
Yeah, and there's a movie
that's
somewhere.
You know, it's probably somewhere in Iraq or something.
In the Middle East.
It's probably in Iraq somewhere. Some guy has it. Some rich guy in Iraq or Saudi Arabia that has it. Just chilling.
It's in Qatar. Qatar. Anyways, It was a good World Cup overall. I thought France was not the most entertaining team in the tournament, but they were like the well-deserved team. They played enough to win. What do you think?
Like I said, they're a team who were patient. They counterattacked when they had to. They had to score a lot of goals if they had to. They took advantage of team's mistakes, and they took opportunity of the penalty kicks they had throughout the tournament. They made them. I don't think they missed one, if I remember correctly. But they had a great defense. I think that was really what kept them in every game. They had a great, great back four. I think they played phenomenal. The two young guys in each corner, the left and the right back, Hernandez and Pavard. I think they stepped up huge. Even though that, like I said, like what I kept saying is they're forward, which is funny because they did this without Benzema. Benzema was playing, it would have been somewhat even more dangerous because Giroud or Giroud, how you pronounce it, these guys didn't do anything.
Giroud, no goals. He started in seven matches,
yeah, Giroud.
And no goals. Which this happened back in '98, the same thing. Like the French starting striker Gavarch was the starter. And he scored zero goals. So it's interesting how things are parallel back to the 98 French team.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they have so many great, they got good midfield, they got a great defensive team. They were just the best all-around, best balanced team. Were they always fun to watch? No, but I mean, what is fun? I mean, yeah, all these fun teams that are flight power, where are they at? They're watching a World Cup just like we were. They didn't make it. And that's the whole thing, like Brazil and Belgium, these teams that were great, explosive offensively, they struggled in the back end, and they let themselves expose. And really, France philosophy really was just bend but don't break. They just make sure they didn't overextend themselves when they didn't have to, especially when they had a lead. They're not going to, So that's how you win, man. Defense wins championships. I know the saying it goes, but it goes for like any sport. If they have a really good defense, you can make up for not a good offense at times. You have a really, really good offense, and the world's going to go back and forth. And then, and then the defense wins anyway. So they played well, man. I think, like I said, EA Sports had it, right? They had it locked down. They're going to win. So
EA Sports,
I should put all my money on France.
Yes. Follow EA Sports. And I will not pick France to win the next World Cup because the world champions never repeat consecutively.
Well, has there been one? I think Brazil's done that, right?
Yeah, once. Brazil's been the only team that's won it back-to-back in 1958 and 1962. So I would not pick a world champion to win the next World Cup. For the past three World Cups, the world champion has been eliminated in the group stage. So,
but I don't really think that would be the case for France. I think they'll still make a run for it just because they still have a lot of youth in that team. Like the guy Mbappe, they have all these young guys, Hernandez, Pavard, Pogba. All these guys are, what, they're 20 still, man. They're all young. Especially Mbappe is 19, so like they have a lot of talent there, right?
They do have a lot of talent, youth, and speed. I think they'll win the Euros in 2020, but I'm not going to give them a World Cup. Mark my words. Another World Cup.
All right.
Okay, and this next segment of the show, George and I have selected the best 11 of this World Cup.
Well, first, I had said to Diallo to just pick one person of each team. You didn't like that. You said just pick whoever you want. And I said, well, I'm gonna pick just one combo of one team, and then I'll pick everyone separately. Just because I felt like it'd be a lot harder, but then at least you have more variety in your team. But I think what we could do, though, is I say we just go, like, we'll start from the back end, like goalie, and then we'll just straight off. I say, what's my goalie? Then you say, what's your goalie? And then we keep switching off from left,
That's fine.
Go down that way.
All right.
That'll be fun. So who's your goalie?
My goalie is Courtois from Belgium.
Yeah, okay, nice. My rule was just pick one player from each team and only have one pair of teammates in the starters. So that was the case. I was gonna go for my number one pick really was a guy from Denmark.
Schmeichel.
I forgot how to pronounce the last name. Schmeichel. But I ended up going with Ochoa from Mexico because he think he had a great World Cup and he had the most saves, like the highest save rate in the whole entire World Cup. So I liked him. So I picked him for my starter.
Not a fan of Mexico or Ochoa, but good pick.
What about,
Who's your left back?
Left or right, each one plays either one. I got Kimmich from Germany.
Wow, Kimmich? Wow, that's a pretty good.
Yeah.
My left back is Lucas Hernandez.
He's the best player. Yeah, I love him. I love that pick. I had him as one of my starters, but then I ended up going with Griezmann instead, so I took him off the team. But Hernandez was my guy there. But I forgot about Kimmich because I think he was really one of him and Cruz is the only guys that did anything for Germany in this tournament. And Kimmich is young, he's fast, he's very energetic. I like him a lot. He's really good.
And who's your right back?
Who do you got for your right back?
I got Marcelo.
A good pick. Kind of old there, but older. I got Trippier. I got Trippier from England. I think he played phenomenal. I think he's really, really good. I think he was the more consistent player from England the whole tournament. I think him and Kane, obviously, but him, he was like, he did everything for the team in the tournament.
That's not a bad pick, especially from a Colombian.
Yeah, he was my favorite player from England. I mean, I'm not going to be biased, but...
Good job.
If I take Kane, but I Trippier, I think he did a great goal. I think he played great. So he's my favorite player to watch.
And who's right, so your two center backs?
I have Silva from Brazil and Mina from Colombia. I love Mina. So I got those two guys.
I got Godin and I got Mina.
Yeah, Godin. Yeah, Godin was a good choice. I was thinking about getting him. He's a little older. So I ended up like thinking, I'm also younger, my team. Godin was good. I actually had a bench. I don't know if he had a bench spot, but I had three subs. And I went from each position, and I had Cacetes instead as one of my, Cacetes, the defensive back. I had him.
Yeah,
I think he's a left back, right? Or right back. I mean, he plays it all.
Yeah, Uruguay's defense was one of the best in the tournament. They just couldn't overcome France, and maybe the whole Cavani situation kind of screwed them up. Who are your midfielders?
Yeah. I went with 4-4-2. I don't know. Did you go with the same?
I had the 4-4-2, but the top, like, I had Ronaldo as a false number 9 right behind Kane. So, well, I just said my forwards.
Okay. That was, for me, that was the most, like, hard decisions to make because there's so many great midfielders in the tournament. I actually almost forgot about Messi. It's funny. I was like, didn't even pick him. Like,
I would not care because he didn't have a good tournament.
I don't know if he didn't have a good tournament. He had assists. He had like 2 or 3 assists in the tournament. Like, it's just team around him sucked, man. Like, he's still a dominant player. He still affected the game regardless. But I ended up going with in the right and left. I guess flanks. I got Modric. And Eriksen, I really love Eriksen from Denmark. I think he was really the only thing that kept Denmark alive. And he's young, still in his prime. He's going to have a great career ahead of him. I squeezed Eriksen there. I really liked him. The other guy that I liked instead of him that I had thinking about to replace him with, I was back and forth. He's in my bench kind of. Isco from France. I think he was like from Spain. He was like their best player in all.
Don't tell that to a Frenchman.
He did everything for that team, and they couldn't do anything. But yeah, Isco was great. So I got Eriksen, and then in the end, I didn't have my two midfielders that would run the team would be Messi and Griezmann. Griezmann was one of those guys where I was like, I wasn't sure to go him or Hernandez. My team, I was only going to pick one guy from France. I think those are two of the more consistent players, so I ended up going with Griezmann instead.
Okay, here's my midfield. The two central midfields I have is Modric and Kante. And then a left.
With Kante in the middle.
Yeah, Kante in the middle. Modric is a defensive slash, playmaker, hustler. Let's go, back and forth in the field. So it's a pretty solid team so far. And who are your strikers? I named mine already.
So you had who?
I had Ronaldo and Kane. Kane up top, and then Ronaldo behind him.
I went a little hybrid, actually. I went the hybrid because these guys, they could play like attacking midfielders, flanks, or they could play forwards. So I went with a little different style. Ronaldo was one of my choices, but I had him because I like him, but I don't like him. You know, like, I have him, I guess, but I had him on my bench. My two guys really was Neymar and Hazard. I think they both played. They're short, fat guys. Not strikers in the middle. The only really striker that I like that played well is Kane, right? I mean, everyone else kind of struggled. Cavani was good. I thought about getting Cavani in there, actually. But
you like a pure striker.
Hazard and Neymar. I like guys that could defend and come back and attack. And, you know, I like guys with speed and agility. I don't really like the guy that's just waiting there for the ball to score a beautiful goal. Like, I don't care much about those players. I feel like they get all their glory, but they don't put the hard work. So I like Hazard because Hazard plays a combination of forward and midfielder, and Neymar as well in the front. So I had Neymar and Hazard, and as Neymar and Silva being my only teammates from Brazil that I used as a combo.
I would think Kane's probably, obviously he won the Golden Boot, but he was definitely the pure striker of the World Cup, probably the best striker of the World Cup, of course, because he won the Golden Boot, but he was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was amazing. I mean, he did take a period of his opportunities. Half his goals were penalties, so I mean, I don't know how much that really counts.
Three penalties.
Remember James? Didn't James, he won the last World Cup before this one. He got six goals, right? But I don't think none of them were actually penalties. Maybe one. I don't remember him making a penalty, but they were all like pure goals this guy had. I just feel like there were so many penalties in this tournament, right? There's so many penalties and there's so many own goals, right?
There were 12 own goals in this tournament.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I mean, I have to compare it to the other home goals in the past tournaments. 12 sounds about right for 64 games. So, I mean, what do you expect? There's no perfect team. You know, you're definitely going to force some things.
I think that's way more. There's over average there, I think, right? I mean, 12 and 64 games, that's one every what? Every three games? Or less, right? More than that. What, is it one every 2.5 games, I think?
Yeah, you're the odds guy. I think you're one of the
more. One out of every three. One out of every three and a half, four. Well, it's less than four, right? So it's.
What was the worst game?
48. How many matches are there?
There's 64 games.
Oh, the worst. Oh yeah, so the worst game. What do you mean? Like in the knockout stages?
No, overall, my worst game was Denmark versus France.
Well, yeah, they weren't playing for anything. That's the whole point. That was the whole point of the game.
It was the worst game.
Like,
it was the worst game.
I mean, this is the thing. You know, it might hurt. The World Cup, I know they're saying like they do random, like they when they're going to play each other is random. I don't know if that actually helps. I feel like somehow you have to do a way where you – it's kind of like the NFL season. The NFL is brilliant at it. They know how to put the season in the games that matter, like towards the end and in the middle. They kind of spread out all of like the great games, right, through the season. Yeah. So the World Cup, you don't want to have that happen. It happened like, what, several times where we had two of the better teams in the group ended up not have to play for nothing in the third game. So
England, Belgium,
their players are playing like exactly. So that hurts. I think that you don't want to see that. Imagine you flying over there to watch like your team, like, oh, Denmark against France, like this is the best game, or Belgium against England. Oh, I want to watch all the best players and everything, and they're all just basically playing like a scrimmage. Like it's not even playing their best players. They're resting a lot of them. They're just whatever. They're just getting 0-0 games. Like, do the fans really get their money's worth? No, not really. You know, so. I think somehow they have to kind of change that because there's going to happen. Imagine like the 48 teams, whatever, what's going to happen in the future. It's going to be crazy, like, stuff. But the worst games were the ones I never watched, man. Those, you know, like Iran against, like, what's
Morocco.
The Saudi Arabia or something like that.
No, it was
Morocco. Yeah, I didn't watch those games. Or even Spain beat them and all that. Like, they were probably closer games, though. But the most shocking game to me was Japan against Belgium. That, to me, was amazing.
It was
that game was like one of those games I didn't expect to like. That was incredible. I felt bad for Japan, man. I just Japan ended up like, man, I felt bad for them. I can't believe they just broke down in the end like that, man.
Which is surprisingly because they had like the two unlikely heroes with Fellaini and Chadli. So that was the interesting part because they're kind of low-key players in their clubs. I mean, one comes from a bad club, and the other one hardly starts for Manchester United, but even though he's with Manchester United. But, yeah, definitely a surprising game, a shock. What was the best game?
And Brazil, too.
Yeah. The best game?
Brazil could have won. I think Brazil had a chance to beat France, but they never got to play each other.
Yeah, they never. Well, France always beats Brazil. I mean, I had France either way going to the final. Belgium, Brazil, they're going to beat them. What was the best game? My best game was still Spain-Portugal. Second to that is Colombia-England.
Colombia-England, that was an ugly game, man. That was just a, it was a bad football. They were just hitting each other. I don't like it. Portugal and Spain, that was a fun game, the first game.
So
the best game, I mean,
was not the final.
The one that Germany had that last minute goal, man, to keep us stay alive
against Sweden. That was my favorite goal of the tournament, actually.
That goal was such an amazing clutch goal, man.
It was so emotional because Germany has never been in trouble before.
It's just crazy, man. I mean, who would have thought Germany wasn't going to make it to the knockout stages? Spain got beat by Russia.
Which is interesting because
how do these things even happen?
Like, it's interesting because I was hearing from German journalists before the World Cup that they were saying that there was a lot of infighting in the German team. So that's why they weren't surprised that they got out early.
Yeah, the team had a lot of issues, man. I mean, I don't know what I think it had to do with the coach. I don't like the coach at all. I think that he's the main issue there, but
Which they signed him a extension for 2 more years. I hate that.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Makes completely no sense. You have all that talent in your team. Didn't even bring some of the guys you should have brought. And you don't even make the knockout stage. That's horrible. I mean, you deserve to get fired in between. Like, oh, they fired you halfway through the world. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's something
it's crazy, but
it's just who knows what happens inside the federation. Also, Argentina's federation was horrible. They fired Sampioli yesterday. Back to Spain. Yeah, Spain had a horrible situation. Real Madrid, had like the news story of hiring the Spanish coach the day before the World Cup. That was awful PR. They could have done something better to announce that, sign the deal, but announce it right at the end of the World Cup or something. So, there's some teams that didn't show up, but I think we're going to see the rise of Italy. We're going to see, the rise of Netherlands, and maybe the USA will come back. So we're going to see some stronger teams coming back. But
Chile's going to go back.
Yeah, Chile. Exactly. So it was
Colombia, man. If Colombia had James playing full strength, man, I think we would have made a run for it. I think we would have beaten England easily, and I think we would have been, we would have been there playing against Croatia for the, for the World Cup, I think. But
I think whoever would have won that match between Colombia and England, I mean, if Colombia would have won, Colombia would have gone to the semis. But this whole James injury, I didn't hear anything about this before the World Cup. It was so strange. I think he wasn't healthy at all coming in.
And the thing was, they had to play so hard. Those two games, those whole group stages were brutal because of how we lost against Japan off the bat with Ongo and, the penalty and the red card and all that stuff. So, he had to extend himself more and, he should have. We couldn't really rest him as we wanted to. So, it was bad all around. But one more thing before, I want to ask, what do you think about the whole Ronaldo going to Juventus? I was reading an article on ESPN saying, this is the reason why he left. And all they really wrote and all they showed was what Dorado was saying, great things about Real Madrid and how he loves his time there and he loves the people and the fans and trying to move on. But they never really described what happened. Why do you think he left? Because obviously they would have kept him if he wanted to. So he decided he asked for a trade, right?
Yeah, I think it was mutual agreement. I think he's done as much as he can at Real Madrid, winning 3 straight championships. 3 Champions Leagues, and I think Zidane leaving. I think Madrid wants to start something fresh. I think it was more on Real Madrid's decision for this to happen. And I think Ronaldo said, look, I mean, I can fight and stay, but it's probably not worth it. They don't want me. Madrid is a championship team, and they want to move forward. They want to look on. And I think Madrid, I mean, Ronaldo signed into Juventus. It was an okay move. I wasn't, like, really surprised. I mean, wasn't really, like, in awe or enamored over it.
That's the best team in Italy, right?
It is the best team in Italy. I would have liked for him to go to Manchester United, maybe. I could have seen him, you know, really fit in well. He started his career. I mean, he was there early on in his career there. But Juventus has the money. They got the capital. They do. It's a huge fashion area, so he'll, you know, get along with that. I mean, him going there, I mean, I really think they'll be Champions League contenders for sure. I mean, I think they'll go to the semis or maybe to the final.
But let me ask you, does a player have a say in where they want to go? I mean, how does that work? I mean, I don't know how that works in soccer. I'm not really that depth into, like, how does it work? Like, the contract, is it all guaranteed money? How does that all work?
Well, in Europe, it's very, like, the player controls, like, his own destiny, pretty much. I mean, he could have, you know, 2 more years on his contract, and if he wants to go, the team that he wants to go to could buy his contract up, pay the club's fine, and then he goes on to his new club. So the player pretty much controls his destiny. Compared to the NBA or NFL, there's a lot of legalities, and you can't do that as easily.
Yeah. So is all the money guaranteed that they get?
Oh, yeah, guaranteed, but obviously you got to minus the taxes. I think it's like 25% taxes, so which is highly taxed in Europe, by the way. I think he
all right. Well,
he actually signed a 4-year contract, and his 4th year is an option. That means he can move out. But pretty much over there in Europe, you could leave whenever you want.
Who's going to replace Ronaldo and Real Madrid?
Right now, they're saying Eden Hazard from Chelsea and from Belgium, and maybe Mbappe and Neymar. They want to bring those three in. Hazard is the easy get. Mbappe and Neymar is going to be the hardest. PSG controls them. And if Madrid wants them, there has to be a lot of money involved, and money can only go so far.
Yeah, I want to see Mina. Mina's in Barcelona still, right?
Yes, and I heard Mina might go to Everton in England.
Oh, man, I want him to start, man. He's gonna become, I think, one of the better, like, center backs, like, because of his height, man. He's, like, goal-scoring. Like,
I heard from the Barcelona people, they were saying that, like, the likelihood for him to start is not good. Pique and Umtiti's pretty much solidify the center back position. I would suggest Mina to leave, and I think that's probably what's going to happen. Everton is a mid-table club in England. I mean, they're okay. They're on the rise, but, I mean, I would think he should go better, like a Chelsea or maybe to Arsenal. But he definitely has a lot of future.
Yeah, he's too good to be – he's still going to be playing on the bench. He's too good.
I mean, yeah, he's still really young. He's 22, too, and I think he deserves to be, you know, play 90 minutes at his club. So, but he should be moving out. He should be moving out. I mean, his value went up. And guess what? A lot of Croatians.
Yeah, they're going to pay him up. They're going to give him a big contract.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Croatians have been a whole lot of interest from Croatians to go to clubs in England. So you're going to see a lot of, like, Subasic and all these other players from the team heading to bigger clubs.
Yeah, because the World Cup is kind of one of those things where all everyone's watching, or watching on it, which guys are going to rise up, which soccer's going to drop, which guys are the ones that you want to get, you know, for cheaper, you know, get guys in better clubs, you know, and replace other players that leave. So, like, the World Cup is kind of one of those things where everyone gets to see, like, who you are, and you show up in those big moments for your country. They're going to, you know, their stock rises up.
A lot of those players play for a contract, too. Some of them are going in between clubs, or they're in the back club. So, like, a lot of them, you know, push the performance pretty high in order to get eyes on a bigger club. And to be honest, everyone's watching, not just the scouts. Scouts could take a vacation. They're fine. The coaches, all like the whole team president, everyone's watching the World Cup. So you're going to see a lot of players like, you know, James got offered to Real Madrid, which I think was a bad idea. He was benched most of the time. But, you know, a lot of these stars are birthed. And we'll see what happens. I think we're going to see a lot more Croatians. I'm telling you, a lot of Croatians play in these small clubs in Eastern Europe. You're going to see them a lot in these bigger clubs. And we'll see. It's going to be a good season. Typically, the season after the World Cup, the players are a little bit tired. So it should be an interesting year. And I can say that. I mean, I can say this for sure. I don't think Real Madrid is going to win the Champions League next year. So.
I don't really watch like much clubs, to tell you the truth. I only watch some of the cup games in a while, playoffs. But I love international soccer; that's my favorite. I just love to see each country bring out like guys that you never heard of, young guys, you know, for the country. That's my favorite style of soccer. I just feel like they play harder, and you know, there's more upsets to go. You know, and the big names fall. You know, they have because I feel like a great player. Like for example, Messi or Ronaldo. These guys could play. It's so easy to play in these clubs where you have everyone around you is ridiculously good.
It's stacked.
Put Messi in Argentina and then see what happens. Or put Ronaldo in a worse team in your own country. That's where you really see these guys' leadership, these guys' tenacity, these guys' will to win. Their mental strength, like all these things that. You see in greatness, like that's where it really shows up, and that's why I like these guys. Teams like Japan and Russia, these guys I have no names. You know, a lot of these guys they play so hard, and like I admire that more than these stars that have all these guys around them. That you don't even have to do much of anything to make a goal. Like so easy, it's right there. You know.
You know what I've noticed that you know people only watch the only watch soccer every 4 years, but I keep telling them, guys, there's good soccer throughout the years. You know. Throughout like the season, regular season from August to May, watch the Premiership. I think that's like the best league in Europe right now. It's the highest paid. Watch La Liga. Watch Champions League. Champions League, you know, there's a few playoff games. There's playoff games in the springtime. Watch that. You know, don't stop. And like you were saying, you know, a lot of these players play in big clubs like Modric. Modric, you know, I mean, I would see him every season with Real Madrid. He's a great player, but obviously he's surrounded with good players. And when he's on with Croatia, he has to play a little bit harder because, you know, like the team around him, he's a little bit weaker compared to Real Madrid. So, you know, most country teams, they're not as good as the club teams, to be honest. I mean, maybe Brazil, but, you know, it really depends who you ask. Or Belgium, you know, there's a few teams that are pretty stacked. But, you know, when it comes to these players that go back to their countries, like Ronaldo, they got to work, you know, work harder, you know, in order to win. So I really tell you know, everyone, watch the Champions League, watch the Premiership. You know, it's on NBC. Here in America, we got so much access to almost all the leagues in Europe, like the top leagues in Europe, that in Europe, they can't see, for example, if you're in Italy, it's hard to see a game from like England or Spain. We have it all here in America. And it's that's really true. Easy to get. You know, you get, you know, your cable, get BN Sport, NBC.
Yeah, I have to pack. We can watch that. But the funny part about that whole thing is that, yeah, here's where soccer is not growing as a faster rate than anywhere else in the world. And MLS is pretty much a joke compared to.
That's the thing with soccer. There's so much leagues, you know, and MLS is like swallowed in. Now, MLS has improved. We brought in, you know, some good players. But other than that, I mean,
well, they're all old, though. All the old guys come here, like they're like mid-30s, late-30s. They come here, like big names, like Beckham. All these guys are all deep end. They're just old. They're here to get a paycheck and like sponsorship deals. That's it.
Yeah, that's the whole situation. But like they're bringing like the guy from Montreal FC. He's an Italian, and you know he's he came when he was 27, and he. You know, hold on, let me find his name. And Italy would select him a few times. Obviously, people are hesitant. Sebastian Giovinco, you know, he's an Italian, came at 27. You see some Mexican players coming over, like, in their prime. I think once MLS signs players in their prime, now you'll see the league more serious. Atlanta brought in some Argentinians that this coach, Tite Martinez, came. So, I mean, it'll take time. I think in 20 years, MLS will be the best league in the Americas, better than the Brazilian and Argentinian league. That's my prediction. It'll take some time. And we'll see what happens. But in America, I think we surpassed – soccer is more popular than the NHL. So we're making some progress.
You think? I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know about that because, man, people up north, they love their hockey.
It's – I mean, you know? According to ratings and stats, it's either tied or MLS is ahead.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so we are catching on, but it's still a long way to go. You know, there's NFL is still the best league in North America, and then you got baseball. Well, then you got NBA, then baseball.
Look.
So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done.
I don't know how baseball has so much money. I'm not a lot of you, man. I don't know how baseball gets so much money. I don't understand it. So many games in a season. It's too many games. But you know what? I'm going to serve another day. It's getting kind of long now, so.
Well, George, I think how can people reach you?
Eternal41288@gmail.com. Hit up a comment on YouTube. Find out which team you like more. Mine or Santiago's. You know, mine are better.
and you can reach me at @Leon. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, George. Thanks for joining on to the SportsCast World Cup Edition. You were part of the analyst, you and David Hessel and Kevin Lara. And it was great to have a blast. We'll be seeing you more for more of you during the NFL season. But thank you very much for coming on.
For sure, man.